You've passed a visitor's card. If you've filled one out, please pass it to the center aisle, and the usher will get it right now for you. Because we want to record your visit and know who you are when you visited North Raleigh Chapel. Now, if you'll take your Bibles again, please, and turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And we're going to use our Bibles in two other places, so please have them ready, because I'll be announcing those scriptures in just a moment. I suppose that most of us this morning have in our possession, either in our pockets or a lady in her pocketbook, a set of keys. Keys are nothing strange to us. I don't have to explain them. We all have them. We all use them. We certainly all know what they look like. Sometimes we give our children a set of keys to play with, and that seems to occupy their time. Now, that's a good thing to do, except in church. I don't think that's just the proper place to give a child a set of keys to play with in church. I've seen people do that, and I didn't hear another part of the message the whole time of the service. But however, we know that basically, keys are used to unlock doors. And it's amazing, with the use of keys, where we will be led to. Now, in Luke chapter 24, which we have already read from, it's an especially happy portion to read after Easter, or at Easter time, or after Easter, because in this chapter, we have the introduced to us the risen Christ, the one who said, "Behold, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." It's a thrilling story to read how the Lord Jesus met Cleopas and his friend as they were on their way to Emmaus. You know, these people were confused. They were upset. The one whom they had hoped to be Israel's Redeemer had been hanged on a Roman cross. He had been laid in a tomb. And it was now 3 days since that terrible episode. And it was right then that the risen Christ spoke to them the tremendously significant words which we read from Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 25. And do you notice that it says there, if you'll just look at those verses, we will not read them again, it says that the Lord Jesus gave them a big Bible study. He told them about himself as he would be found in Moses. Now that's the five Old Testament books of the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He said, "You'll find me there." And he told them. And then he spoke to them of all the prophets. And I suggest to you that it was both the major and the minor prophetical scriptures. And the Lord said, "Here, see, here I am." That must have been a tremendous Bible reading. But then something else happened. Look at verse 44, please. Luke chapter 24. "And he," that is the Lord Jesus, "said unto them, These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures." Now, do you notice that the Lord Jesus here gave those in the upper room with whom he was assembled some additional information? He said, all these things that were spoken of me, that's the risen Christ, would be fulfilled. He said, you'll see me, to those folks in the upper room, in Moses. You'll see me in the prophets. But do you notice he added something here? Look at it carefully. He said, you'll also see me in the Psalms. The Lord Jesus was saying, if you look, you'll see me in the Psalms. Now, I don't believe I'm adding anything to this. To say that the Lord Jesus was indicating to them that were there, they would see new things. They would have new things to find. They would experience new blessings. There would be new treasures uncovered. And there would be new promises to claim. And all in the Psalms. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to suggest to you this morning that this is the key. The Lord Jesus says to us this morning here at North Raleigh Chapel, if you will look for me, you will see me in all the Psalms. Now, someone is saying, and I can see some smiles in your faces, all right? That's an introduction to a series of 150 messages from the 150 Psalms. Now, that won't quite be it, I can assure you. But I don't think it'd be too bad an idea. But may I just suggest that to you for your own private study? In fact, I anticipate doing this. Is going to all the Psalms and finding the Lord Jesus. Now, I have no doubt whatsoever that the Lord Jesus, in this tremendous discourse, when he opened their understanding to understand the Scriptures, that in his discourse, he introduced to them, if they hadn't known it before, the 23rd Psalm, and I'm going to ask you to turn with me to that, please. Page 611 in my Bible. Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23. Now, if you found it, keep your hand there, put a marker there, and right now, look at John chapter 10, page 1140 in my Bible. Now, keep these two passages available all throughout the message this morning. John chapter 10 and Psalm 23. I hope you'll have it handy so you can flip back and forth to them, because that's what we want to do this morning. Now, have you found John chapter 10? All right, now hold that. Go back to Psalm 23 now, will you please? Now, I'm going to suggest to you this morning that as many of us as can, let's quote it together. If you have to read it, you can. But let's quote the psalm together. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Without doubt, this is the most well-known portion of the entire Old Testament. Much has been written about this psalm. Many of the songs that we sing are based on the truths given to us in this psalm. You know, this psalm is especially good, and the words are especially relevant because of the fact that we have so many personal pronouns. Now, the psalm would not be nearly as meaningful if it said, the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want, even though that might be quite true. But you see, it has that personal touch. My shepherd. He maketh me. He leadeth me. Thou art with me. Say, if you want an unusual opportunity, the first chance you get, when you get home today, you read this psalm, or quote it, and after every verse, add these words, all the days of my life. Let me just give you an example at the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, all the days of my life. You carry that through, and your soul will be blessed. But now in Psalm 23, we have the psalmist telling us, or rather, it is the shepherd relationship to the sheep. Did you notice here in Psalm 23, that is the sheep that is are speaking? But if you'll turn with me now to John chapter 10, you'll hear the voice of the shepherd. Turn over to John 10 and I'll show you what I mean. John 10 and verse 11, here's the shepherd speaking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now what I want to do this morning is this. I want to take Psalm 23. I want to take John chapter 10, and I want to show how these two portions dovetail together. And I believe as we do, we will get a fresh look at the risen Christ. Now, I have spoken on Psalm 23 on many occasions. And as I was meditating upon it a bit a few days ago, I said to the Lord, Lord, give me a new outline of Psalm 23. Now, I wanted to break the psalm down into three portions. And as I usually do in working out an outline, I sit there with a pad of paper and I start to scribble. And very often, this is the way the outlines come. Well, I'll tell you this. My outline is not original, but I think it's unusual. And I don't think it has ever been used in applying or in preaching on Psalm 23. Let me tell you. Many years ago, there was a man by the name of George Cutting who wrote a lovely tract entitled Safety, Certainty, and Enjoyment. And thousands of people have been blessed through that tract. Suddenly, it occurred to me just like that. Don, there's your outline for Psalm 23. Safety, certainty, and enjoyment. Now, if you forget my outline today, I haven't come through at all. I hope you won't forget it. All right, let's look back at Psalm 23 then and notice how it begins. The first word is safety. Notice what the psalmist says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no greater safety or security than the security in the great shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. But do you notice now how the great shepherd confirms it? Turn over to John chapter 10, and you'll see. At verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, speaking of the sheep, the Lord Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And then it seems that he says, well, if that isn't enough, let me add this. Notice what it says. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. There is absolute safety in the hand of the shepherd. But did you notice here in verse 28? There's a little word that's printed differently in your Bibles as it is in mine. It's the word man. Now, that's an italicized word. Now, the reason they do that is because the translators, I have to be honest, and they are, and they want you to know that that word was inserted to help give you the sense. But it is not there in the original language. Now, if you look at that word and just cross it out for a moment, I believe the truth becomes stronger. In essence, what the Lord is saying regarding his sheep is, no one, no man, no demon, not even the devil himself, can pluck even one of my sheep from my hand. Ladies and gentlemen, that's safety. But there's some added safety here. Now, don't get the wrong impression. There is even a remote possibility that the Savior cannot hold securely all his sheep. This isn't the thought. But just adding to this glorious truth, the great shepherd adds in verse 29, John 10, verse 29, my Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one, no demon, not even the devil himself, is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What a picture. Every one of the Lord's sheep are held in his hand And then cupped over the hand of the Savior is the hand of the Father. You talk about safety. All the hydrogen bombs in the world fused together could never expunge even one individual from the divine double hand. Now, I want you to know that this is the greatest cure for anxiety that I know. Of course, this only applies to those who have been born again, those who have been saved by receiving God's beloved Son, the risen Christ, as personal Savior. As I look into your faces this morning, is there anxiety in your heart? Oh, my friend, if you're saved, rest in the safety of those double hands. But there may be some others here this morning, and you're afflicted with a special loneliness, lonesomeness. I had someone in my office this week, and that person said to me, I am so lonesome. And it builds, and it builds, and it builds, and I can't cry if I can only cry. Oh, listen, lonesomeness has a crushing effect. May I suggest to you this morning, in your loneliness, you're in the Savior's hand. Let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, Hebrews 13:5, and I believe it. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you notice that it works just as good backwards as it does forward, you know. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thee forsake nor thee leave, never will I. It's good forward and backward. You can't miss. Oh, don't you see? Psalm 23:1 takes on a new meaning when we consider these things. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Safety. But now go back to Psalm 23 again. What's the second word of my outline, class? Oh boy, that's weak. What's the second word of my outline, class? Certainty, all right? Psalm 23, verse 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You know, there are a host of Christians who know Psalm 23. They believe the psalm. They love the psalm. And yet many never experience in their lives what the psalm says. Possibly you have never experienced what it's like to lie down in green pastures. Possibly you've never known what it's like to be led by still waters. Possibly you've never experienced having your soul restored and sitting at a table in the presence of your enemies. It's even possible that you've never known what it is to have your cup run over. You say, huh, cup run over, mine's empty and dry. Could it be right now this morning that there are some questions in our hearts? My friends, if you want to experience divine certainty, and it's possible, you first of all must be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. That's where you begin. And then you must be able to say, and mean it, and the shepherd is my Lord. Did you hear what I said? The shepherd is my Lord. Now, as the old saying goes, we're in a completely new ball game. You see, every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has received him as personal Savior. This became because there was a day in our life's experience when by faith we came to the cross of Calvary and realized that when the Lord Jesus died, he paid the penalty for our sins, the payment that a holy God demanded. It was then that we believed the gospel. What is the gospel? That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen. And it was on that occasion when you believed the gospel, and then, of course, you received the Savior. It was then you were saved. And that experience, that transaction, was between you and God alone, and that transaction brought joy to your heart. And you could sing, 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's, and he is mine. So that's all true. But if this is all the farther we have come in our Christian life, then we're bound to experience frustration, failure, and disappointment. Now, immediately someone says, and it's quiet in here because you're looking at me intently now, does it mean then that you can lose your salvation? Oh, no. God's not an Indian giver. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. But my friend, the key to certainty is knowing the shepherd as the Lord. Right at this juncture, I'd like to remind us all of the angel's words which were spoken at the birth of the Lord Jesus. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Luke 10 and 11. You see, this message was planned to bring joy to all the people. Yet there are many Christians who have so little joy. In fact, some hardly have any joy at all. You know the reason for this, I believe? Is that we have never laid claim to the whole message. The Savior is Christ the Lord. And when the Savior is both Christ and Lord in our lives, then of such a relationship, the angel's words are quite apropos here, there will be glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, Luke 2 and verse 14. You see, there are three things which become ours when Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, and they come in that order. The first thing is this. Our lives bring glory to God. Secondly, there is peace in our hearts. And thirdly, there is an outflow which emanates from our lives which will have a positive effect on others who are around us. You see, the lordship of Christ in the life of a believer is paramount. It is of absolute top importance in our daily living. To recognize Christ as Savior costs me nothing because salvation is a gift. And you can't pay for a gift. And when you receive God's gracious gift, you sing lustily, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. But to call the Savior Lord is something different. Actually, I am told that this reference to this time had to do with the lords over slaves. As a slave, a person was owned by his master and lord, small L-O-R-D. The slave possessed nothing of his own. He was owned lock, stock, and barrel by his master and lord. Now, in the same manner, the person who owns the lordship of Jesus Christ in his or her life, they endeavor to live out every aspect of 1 Corinthians 6 19 and 20. Let me give you those verses. What? Know ye not, don't you know, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And when one considers the price paid to redeem our souls, the precious blood of Christ. Now what was Paul doing? He was just underscoring those words that we quoted of the angel just a few moments ago, that we should bring glory to God. Now, how can we do it? Is it possible to show lordship in our lives? Or is this just something we talk about? My friends at North Raleigh Chapel this morning, I want you to know that this is practical in every sense of the word. I wish I had an hour now, and I want to do it in 4 minutes. And I'll try to condense it down to 3 things. Lordship in our lives will be obvious by what we put on our bodies, what we put in our bodies, and where we take our bodies. I want to take those three. Now, the first one applies more to ladies than it does to men. What you put on your body. Lady, if you dress or make up to create lust in the mind of a man, you're not exhibiting lordship. What, you say, that dirty old man? Never mind the man. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to so dress everywhere, the beach included, that you will not create lust in the mind of any man. If you do, you're not exhibiting lordship. The second way I can exhibit lordship in my body is by what I put in my body. You know what I'm going to talk about. No, I'm not. You know what you put in your body, whether it defiles it or not, even too much food. And when you do that, and you imbibe in other things, remember, when you inhale or you imbibe or whatever you do, and in your body, if you take liquor into your body, you're giving the Lord a drink because he lives there. You want to exhibit lordship? Be careful what you take in your body. The third thing, to exhibit lordship, I must be careful where I take my body. And if you you must remember that when you go to whatever place you go, the Lord's not only sitting next to you, he's right in you, and you're taking him there. And remember, when you have the boob tube on, the Lord is looking at what you're looking at. Don't forget. Lordship will be obvious when I'm careful what I put on my body, what I put in my body, and where I take my body. You see, we don't own those bodies if we've been born again. We can't operate them the way we want to operate them. Why? Because they don't belong to us. They were bought and paid for by another. Oh, when the shepherd is my Savior and Lord, then and only then can I know the meaning of what we have called certainty. Now, don't forget that this Lord-slave relationship is not designed by God in any way to inhibit us. You know how I know that? Because in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 30, the Lord says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Someone has almost profoundly said, the lordship is, true lordship is based on love. So the will of the of God becomes to me the love of God. Safety. Certainty. Have you got Psalm 23 open there? Got to get the last one. Enjoyment. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely, and this is enjoyment, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now tell me, is there anything that you can possibly contemplate that will be bring more enjoyment than dwelling in the house of the Lord in heaven forever? This is the zenith. This is the pinnacle. This is the ultimate. You see, there's nothing that we can ever contemplate that will exceed this. This is enjoyment. But now, let me step down for a moment from all this euphoria and focus the arrows of what we've said on every individual here this morning. Listen to me carefully. I watched as we quoted Psalm 23 this morning. Most of you did it from memory. There are many people here this morning who can quote Psalm 23, but that does not mean that the words are true of them at all. Any more than I can quote from between now until I die, I'm a millionaire, that'll make me a millionaire. Never will. You see, I have to possess the resources to meet such a claim as this before I can say it and mean it. Now, what is this? Before I can say the Lord is my shepherd in truth, I first of all have received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, this involves an acknowledgement of sin. This involves a willingness to receive by an act of faith the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life. Receive Him as your personal Savior. Now, I know this. It's a stumbling block for many. But this is where you begin. A person must come to the place in his or her life, I don't care who you are, when you know you're lost. And then we can declare, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And when you come, then you can say with assurance, the Lord is my shepherd, and you experience safety. Can you say that this morning? Can you say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me? If the Lord is your shepherd, you can. And then you'll know certainty. But what's more than that, that certainty is confirmed when the Savior is also my Lord. Thirdly, there's a good possibility that there are some here this morning who know the psalm, but you don't know the shepherd. My friend, if that's the case, you cannot possibly experience enjoyment. You know, I want to quote the psalm for all here this morning who are unsaved. This is the way you have to quote it, because you've got to be honest. Listen to me carefully. The Lord is not my shepherd. I shall want. He does not make me lie down in green pastures. He does not lead me beside still waters. He does not restore my soul. He will not lead me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear evil, for thou wilt not be with me. Thy rod and thy staff will not comfort me. Thou wilt not prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou wilt not anoint my head with oil. My cup will not run over. Surely goodness and mercy will not follow me all the days of my life. And I will not dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, the horror of walking through the valley of the shadow of death without the shepherd. It's disaster. Can you say this morning, the Lord is my shepherd? If you've never received him as your personal Savior, you can't. But that's why we're here this morning, to tell you that you can receive Christ as your Savior and be born again. That's why the Lord Jesus died, so that he could become your Savior, your shepherd, your friend, so that you could know safety, certainty, and enjoyment. Wouldn't you like to be saved this morning? You can be, if you will, by an act of faith, invite the Lord Jesus into your life. How different for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The outlook is fantastic. And it's just as sure as the promises of God. Oh, may God, the Holy Spirit, impress anew on us